This is the Climate Ambassador Podcast. Listen, learn, and get empowered.
So you're very welcome to this episode of the Climate Ambassador Podcast. I'm Gary Tyrrell, and today we are chatting with two people very much involved in the world of food waste. Co-founder and CEO of Food Cloud, Eivín O'Brien, and environmental scientist with EPA Ireland and manager for their food waste prevention programme, Odile Le Bouloc. Thank you for joining us today, guys. I'm looking forward to talking to you about. Food waste is a common issue in our lives, but people might be surprised how much money can be saved and how much greenhouse gases can be reduced by dealing with this waste effectively. Our guest today will help you with some of these solutions to help reduce food waste in your daily lives. So to begin, can you give us a bit of your background and yourselves, guys? How did your journey lead to where you are now? And we go to Eivín first, please.
Yeah, so we set up Food Cloud back in kind of 2012, 2013. Previous to that, I'd actually worked in investment banking. But within investment banking, I was involved in environmental and social risk analysis. So I always had an interest in sustainability and specifically around food as well. So I came back to Dublin to do a master's in environmental science back in 2012 and was keen to get involved in some of the food sharing initiatives that I'd seen in London. But very little was happening in this area in Ireland. And I suppose, you know, during my kind of journey of getting more up to speed and educated on the whole climate crisis, I was particularly, I suppose, shocked myself at the amount of food waste that was wasted, and also surprised that it wasn't getting more attention, because it's something obviously that's so important to all of our day-to-day lives as well. So that is really what led me to become passionate and, you know, I suppose set up Food Cloud, is that appreciation or growing understanding about the scale of and consequences of food waste. And I suppose eight or nine years later, I'm still as interested and passionate about trying to find solutions to reduce the amount of perfectly good food that goes to waste.
Amazing. Thank you for that. And Odile?
Yeah, so I suppose my journey began way back many, many years ago. I studied zoology in UCD, but actually a lot of the topics that I was looking at were around the environment and environmental science. It just that didn't exist as a topic for degrees back then. But since then I've worked in the environmental field. I worked in Italy for a number of years and I worked for Birdwatch Ireland. So I've kind of always had an interest in the environment. And when I was lucky enough over 20 years ago to get a job in the EPA, you know, I kind of felt you were approaching it from the inside then, you know, looking at policy and just kind of how policy can help implement things. And, you know, I'm not saying that's the golden solution to these things, but it's always very, very handy to see how things work and see if you can, you know, you can influence change that way. I've always been interested in, you know, communications and marketing. And I suppose from an early stage, my work in the EPA has been kind of evidence-based communication. So using data, be it through the State of the Environment report or environmental indicators, but helping to communicate and convey what are quite complex issues to a general audience. And I suppose that led me along the way. Over 10 years ago, we were asked by the department to initiate a very catchy program called Prevention of Food Waste and Promotion of Home Composting. And that's kind of where our work on food waste prevention was born, if you like. And for me, I suppose, as you can guess from my name, I come from, half of my family is French. So we have a very strong interest in food and eating and the social side of food. So to be honest, it's kind of a topic that's made for me. And I find, you know, I find that when you're talking to people, one of the key things, it can be quite a challenge within sort of that you're talking, you're actually talking about food, not waste. And I think that's the key thing that we always try to convey with our work, is it's about the food.
I love that. That's brilliant. Like, just really to not focus on the waste, but on the food itself, and use this kind of approach to help us enjoy food even more. That's fantastic, Odile. I love that. Thank you. And kind of segueing then on like your environmental based communications end of things, like, you know, as you know, reducing food waste is one of the most effective things anyone can take to help fight climate change, right? And any steps we take to reduce our food waste has the potential to reduce emissions. So Adele, could you explain why we should care about reducing food waste and what are the global impacts?
Yeah, I think even mentioned it there as well, you know, it doesn't get enough attention when it comes to the whole discussion around climate change. I don't think people realise the impact that food waste has on the environment. And, you know, globally, it is actually responsible for about 8 to 10% of global greenhouse gas emissions. And I think it's hard to imagine, you know, that link when you're in your house and you have your food and you put it in the bin. Maybe the actual emissions from treating that waste aren't really high compared to a lot of other things, but you've got all the embedded emissions in that food that it took to get to your table. And not only the emissions, but you've got all the resources, you know, there was fertilizer, there was water, there was the farmer's time, you know, and then, you know, it was harvested. So the energy used for the fuel used for the harvester, then, you know, might have been transported, it would have been packed, it would have been refrigerated, you may even have cooked it, and then only to throw it away at the end, you've wasted all those resources along the way. So I think, you know, one of the things we like to talk about when it comes to food waste, it's actually the climate action you can do 3 times a day. That's our, you know, remember, in your kitchen. People sometimes are looking for actions they can do to reduce their impact on the planet and help in relation to climate change. And they're looking at things like changing their car, maybe going for an electric car or light bulbs, you know, changing all your bulbs, that kind of thing, or something even more complex. Whereas actually reducing food waste, while it might be difficult because it involves changing your behaviour, it doesn't cost you anything. And in fact, it might even save money in the process.
That's a lovely thought, Odile, that it's, you know, something, a climate action we can do 3 times a day. I like to joke when I'm with family and friends eating, instead of stuff being thrown away, you know, particularly sweet food, I have a bit of a sweet tooth. I'm going, well, you know, it's my climate duty to eat this stuff, you know, and but 3 times yeah. a day, that's a great one. And even like, can you tell us more about Food Cloud? You know, it's a fantastic program, and I see the vans and trucks going about the place a bit. How does it work, and what are the benefits?
Yeah, so Food Cloud is a social enterprise, and so we're a registered charity, and we redistribute food from the food industry to the charity sector, and we do that in 2 ways. So we have a technology solution that links retailers directly with charities in local communities. So for example, Tesco, they will have some surplus at the end of every day. They upload details onto our technology platform that sends an alert out to the local charities. They'd go directly to the store and pick that up. So that would be like very short, like the end of life, I suppose, the stuff that would be in the reduced to clear aisle bakery that, you know, was baked today, they'll bake a fresh batch tomorrow. So, you know, it would have been on sale at 7:30, but donated to charities at 7:35, you know, so it's perfectly good food, but can't be sold for a variety of reasons. So that solution, we work with like most of the retailers in Ireland, and we've expanded into the UK and more recently Central Europe using that technology. And then we also have 3 warehouses in Dublin, Galway and Cork, where food wasted earlier in the supply chain. So from distribution centres, manufacturers, farmers, producers, where it's large volumes, we'd either collect or they would deliver to one of our 3 hubs. And then we would redistribute in more manageable quantities out to charities from there. So I suppose between the 2 solutions, say, for example, last year, in Ireland, we would have redistributed over 3,000 tons of food to a network of about 650 charities across the country. And then internationally, then the scale, obviously, say in the UK and Central Europe is a lot bigger. So we would have done closer to 10,000 that we would have facilitated to the platform, 10,000 tons of food. So that's a lot of food. It is only tip of the iceberg in terms of the food that is wasted. But, you know, in terms of the benefits, obviously, the food industry have a more ethical, environmentally friendly solution to wasting perfectly good food. On the one hand, it helps them to reduce their emissions, and it's also, I suppose, the right thing to do if it's, you know, perfectly good to eat. And then on the charity and community side, the biggest benefit is they're using food to connect with their communities. So there's a range of charities. They could be after schools clubs, they could be homeless shelters. You know, food is a big cost for them, and they're using food to reduce their own costs, you know, so that they can focus on their underlying mission, but also so that they can connect. So especially, say, last year, you know, a lot of our partners, our community partners, would have had to drastically adapt their services. So instead of doing community lunches in a community centre, they would have had to do kind of hampers out to people that were isolating in communities. And a lot of them have reported back to us that the food, you know, while they may have had to cut back their other services, delivering food out to people that would have, you know, availed of their services actually kept that connection going and made sure they had an opportunity to reach out. So, like, what I like to think of is that it's more than food. As Odile said, it's really about that connection within communities, making more resilient and connected communities. And some of them are very, very bought in and engaged in the environmental message. So we have an organisation in Clonmany in the Inishowen Peninsula that their core is really around the environmental, that they want to help and be part of you know, a network of organisations reducing food waste. But for others, it might be about actually, you know, addressing a need within the community in relation to food security. So there are a variety of ways the food is used and a variety of social benefits as well. Because those charities are so different themselves, they're all using the food in different ways.
It's brilliant to hear the positive, you know, kind of approaches that you both have, and like how the connection is there with food. And so it's so lovely to hear that even during lockdown, it's actually been one of the things that it's been able to allow to help for some people, is that connection with, you know, the food deliveries keep going, and even out in Inishowen, and I can only imagine where else as well that you guys are operating in, which is fantastic. And you mentioned there, like, that there is a global focus as well. I'm just wondering, could you tell us a little bit more about that end of things?
Yeah, so I suppose in an Irish context, food redistribution wasn't done on a large scale when we started. But in other countries, the kind of warehousing infrastructure was pretty well established. So the retail technology solution that we developed in Ireland was kind of novel in a global sense. So in 2015, Tesco like really liked what we were doing with them in Ireland and asked us, would we consider working in partnership with an NGO that they worked with called Fairshare, a food redistribution NGO, to give them the retail technology in the UK. So basically, we started working in partnership with another NGO in the UK and to roll out to the Tesco stores there, and later Waitrose and Booker and a couple of other retailers have come on in the UK. And similarly, Tesco have a large footprint in Central Europe, and we would be working in partnership with other food redistribution NGOs there. So they have started to use our technology. So I suppose it's always in partnership with existing NGOs. So they might have the warehouses, but not the retail solution. So that's how it's worked. And that's how, I suppose, what we're really keen to do is, obviously, what's really cool about Food Cloud is it's a local solution to a global problem. Like, it's a local store manager and a local, you know, community worker. But actually, it has a global impact. And likewise, we work in a network of food sharing initiatives across Europe. And if we can help them to grow their impact by sharing our technology solution, then obviously it improves our ability to, you know, rescue more food, save more food from going to waste, and all the environmental and social consequences as a result of that. So we have, our technology has a global footprint, and we have a global ambition, and it's always kind of in partnership with existing NGOs that are already operating in countries.
That's amazing. And just really that kind of local solution to a global problem kind of approach, it really boils down to a lot of the stuff that all of us can be doing in any kind of way in regards to, you know, climate actions, you know, having that global impact with stuff we can do every day, like the kind of three times a day that Odile was talking about as well, perhaps. But that's really interesting. That's amazing, I mean, about all the technology stuff that's going on there. Fantastic work. And then, Odile, like, you are a manager for the Food Waste Prevention Programme, and that covers households, retail, manufacturing, hospitality. So I'm just wondering, could you give us a bit of more of an outline of what that entails exactly?
Yeah, Well, the Food Waste Prevention Programme, we're actually part of the National Waste Prevention Programme. Every country in Europe has to have a waste prevention programme. And in fact, food waste is a priority topic there. So I suppose, you know, when the discussion around food waste, you know, and reducing food waste comes around, people often turn to, you know, kind of waste management solutions, things like composting and anaerobic digestion. And while they're obviously preferred options for unavoidable food waste, preventing is actually way up the hierarchy when, you know, you're avoiding to generate the food waste in the first place. And it's actually a really challenging job. You know, like we talk about, we generate more than 1 million tons of food waste every year in Ireland. And, you know, as Eoin said, you know, even with all the optimum solutions when it comes to donation, there's still loads of food waste, you know, out there being generated. And what we're actually talking about is changing behavior, you know, which is really, really difficult. If that was easy, nobody would smoke and we'd all exercise and eat fruit and veg every day. You know, like we all kind of know things that we should be doing, but it's just really, really hard to do these things. So we have the Food Waste Prevention Programme. I think what's really, really important is exactly as you said, we look at households, you know, there's loads of things we can be doing in the home, but we also look at the supply chain, retail distribution, processing, manufacturing, and then the hospitality sector. You know, there's food waste generated all along that chain from all of those sectors. And while the food waste that's generated a bit further down in households and also in the hospitality sector has a greater impact because going back to the embedded resources, by the time you get quite far down the supply chain, there's a lot more resources there. So that is the waste that's, you know, really has to be reduced. But everybody has to play their part. And I think it's really important that we're seen, you know, as working with everyone rather than pointing the finger or putting all the responsibility on one particular sector. And, you know, often there is a lot put on us as consumers on changing our behaviours and doing things. And I think, you know, it's really, really important. We've always tried to take the, you know, the positive message, showing people things that you can do or things that we are doing right and easy tips rather than making things complicated. And it's really important that we're not, you know, putting burden on people to do things that maybe are impossible. These are things that we can do every day in our everyday life. And similarly in businesses, what we're really trying to do there is get people to measure. You have to know what you're wasting before you know where the problems are. And if you're not measuring your food waste, you're really working in the dark. And we find that a lot of businesses start by going, oh, we're going to do this initiative to reduce our food waste, but they don't actually know which is the problem area. So we've been developing a methodology for people to measure their food waste in businesses to have some kind of consistency so that you know where you're starting from and that gives you the direction where you're going. And all of this has to be underpinned by providing data and evidence. And that's kind of where we come into play as well. You know, we commission studies. We've been doing, we've got some great surveys done on consumer attitudes and behaviours. We've also, you know, do our waste characterisation studies. So that's actually getting down and dirty in bins and showing the kind of things that are being thrown away in businesses, in the hospitality sector. And that gives us what we call benchmarks, which are, you know, so the industry can kind of see, well, the average business like mine throws away this amount of food waste and where you lie. And, you know, within that scale, are you doing well or not? And this helps us guide the discussion in that whole area. So I think, you know, for us, we have a job to do there in terms of conveying this information and getting businesses on board. And, you know, for us, it's all about sort of sharing good practice, highlighting things, but really the whole thing about consistent and good quality data is one of the core focuses of our programme.
That's brilliant. And that kind of old adage about, you know, measuring before you can manage. And yeah, I can imagine businesses finding that very useful, you know, with that feedback that are given to them, then can, you know, something they can work towards with those measurements to improve. With those behavioural changes that I imagine businesses must have as much as, you know, individuals. So that's really interesting. And then you need quite a number of strong links, I would say, with the Sustainable Development Goals and what Food Cloud are doing, like, you know, in regards to the goals like no poverty, no hunger, reduced inequalities, responsible consumption and climate action. I'm just wondering what comes to your mind when you think of the relationships between food waste and climate change.
Yeah, so We would be focused on the Sustainable Development Goal 12.3, which commits us to reduce our food waste by 50% by 2030, and that's across retail and consumer level, but obviously it doesn't actually have a goal around supply chain, but it's still a good goal to work towards. And then, you know, as are all the issues with climate, they're all interconnected. So obviously wasting food has the climate impacts, so in terms of GHG emissions, and I think some of the latest reports are putting the GHG emissions associated with food waste at, you know, 10%, whereas we previously would have talked about kind of 8%. And also, you know, I think some of the reports out from recently, like in the last couple of months from UNEP and the FAO, are saying that 40% of food is wasted, and we would have kind of typically said 30%. So obviously that is huge from an environmental perspective, but there is always interconnection with kind of social justice, and whether that's like fair price for the food in the first place, what is this amount of waste doing to the overall price that farmers are actually getting for their product. So while food waste is one element of the food system, obviously it's very interconnected in terms of access to food, you know, sustainable livelihoods. So it really, while we kind of, for simplicity purposes, focus in on 12.3, because that's waste, we are very conscious that we're just a small part of a wider food system that has all of the other issues that need to be considered, like, you know, sustainable livelihoods, social justice, you know, food poverty, you know, equality, all of those things are connected. And we just are playing a small part in that.
It's a really good point about the interconnectedness of things, and like, kind of, you know, if we can all recognize where we fit into it in some way, and do what we can where we can, whilst kind of keeping an eye on the global picture, you know, I suppose, like that kind of local solution to a global problem kind of approach that you were talking about earlier as well kind of fits into that idea. So yeah, no, that's great stuff. I'm just looking, like, saying on solutions then, like with Project Drawdown, that, you know, if listeners haven't heard of before, I'd recommend checking out. And they have 100 solutions that we need to do as a global society to reduce climate change impacts. And in their top 10, they have 3 food related solutions. That's reduce food waste, agroforestry, and eating plant rich diets. So if food waste and loss were its own country, it would be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter. And maybe even a bit higher now from those new studies that are coming out. I'm just wondering, Odile, what tips can you give us to reduce food waste occurring at home in the first place? And maybe what about tips for reducing food waste in larger settings too, like schools or you know, campuses, workplaces and places like that?
Look, that Project Drawdown is really amazing. And not only actually those, you know, the 3 food related solutions, but some of the others are linked anyway, because, you know, they're about refrigeration and transport, which is all linked to the food system as well. So I think that is, you know, you can't overemphasize the role of food waste in a lot of climate solutions. And in terms of reducing food waste in the home, the main reasons we waste food is we buy too much and we don't use it on time. Like, you know, they're the core issues there. But obviously food, you know, consumption, it's linked to a whole complex range of behaviors linked to, you know, social as well as just in general, our priorities. You want to feed people, you know, and you want people to eat something that's nourishing, and you want to be sure that the whole family eats it. So reducing food waste isn't necessarily up there in our priorities of why we buy food and why we consume food. So for us, our idea is, you know, just to make things a little bit easier for people and highlight things that they didn't know, you know, in terms of like food can be frozen right up until the use by date. Often people throw away food because it has passed its use by date. And I think, you know, even knowing the difference between a use by and a best before date, we did find actually there's very high understanding in Ireland, and we're above the European average actually in our understanding that use by date is there, you know, as kind of a for food that might be highly perishable, whereas best before is a guideline and food you know, after the best before date is perfectly fine to eat. But often people throw away food because it gets close to its use by date. And one of the things you can do is just pop it in the freezer. If you're not going to get to eat to it, put it in the freezer and use it when you have the chance to use it. You know, making a meal plan, it isn't for everybody, but even having a think about, you know, the next 3 nights, what are you actually going to eat? And, you know, what food have you got? If you're, you know, a very basic thing is writing a shopping list. When you go shopping, bring a list with you, know what you have and know what you need. And some of that does stem from know what you're going to eat. And often we find, you know, you go around the shop, you buy things that you think you might like. Don't shop for, you know, the ideal you, shop for the real you. So, you know, don't be buying kale if you really don't eat kale. and that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of things like that that we aspire to eat. And, you know, one a really, really good thing, and it goes back to measurement again, is actually keep a diary for a week of what you do throw away. And keep a little note, you know, beside your caddy in the kitchen, kind of why you throw something away. It'll just make you more aware when you do go around the shop like that. Maybe you don't realize that you throw away all the kale that you buy. So, you know, even that kind of thinking. And, you know, if you're not into stock taking, just take a picture of the inside of your fridge before you go shopping. And then on your phone, you'll have it with you. So in case you're wondering what you have in your fridge, you'll actually have it there with you. So, and, you know, it really is about knowing what you have and making sure, you know, making plans to use what you have or incorporate what you have in meals and not to buy too much. And, you know, we have a very, very small household and it never ceases to amaze me how much, you know, how little food can feed two people. You know, you fill your fridge for the week, but it's not a lot of food. And sometimes you might go overboard buying lots of different things. And like that's 2 weeks worth of food. So it is to be aware of how much actual food people eat and try to avoid overbuying, which you do by having a shopping list and, you know, sort of a vague idea of what you're going to eat if you're not into meal planning. And then just in terms of, you know, in larger settings, say like school, campus or workplace, these are kind of different environments. You know, the tips for the home don't really work the same in those because you've got mass groups of people. And often, yet again, what you need to look at is you need to start by looking at what's in the bins. And, you know, there is a project that we've been working on, starting in DCU, but also working with some of the other universities around the country. And first step was to look at kind of food and plastics that are ending up in the bin to help us identify some of the initiatives that need to happen. And, you know, say somewhere like a campus or a school, you might have, you know, people are bringing food from somewhere else, but then you've also got food service providers. So there are two different sets of issues that need to be looked at, you know, for the food service provider. If it's a canteen, cafeteria, it might be something, you know, like smaller portion sizes. Is the bin kind of, is the food being wasted at the front of house or in the, or because of kitchen practices? These are all questions that you need to resolve before you decide what you're going to do. Sometimes in schools, you know, that can be about food that we give to our children. You know, they may not have much time. It might actually be a choice between eating the lunch or going out to play. So, you know, and children, they're going to want to go to play. So, you know, sometimes that can be just giving children something smaller that they can eat on the go, carry with them, you know, little, and you can get lunch boxes now with compartments that you can put bits and pieces into, that kind of thing. And also, I suppose, just being mindful, most schools will actually send food waste home now. You won't be allowed to put it in the bin in school. So just keep an eye on what does come back and have a conversation about why things are being wasted. Is it not having enough time, or is it something else, something a bit, you know, that they don't like the food or something like that? And it just helps you inform a little bit more what you do give to your children. And then in the workplace, kind of the same thing, you know, you have canteen services there, same thing about, you know, providing portion sizes, reduced portion sizes, things like that. But there can also be, I suppose, what we call a kitchenette situation that happens in smaller workplaces where you might just have a small little kitchen where people maybe bring their own food, prepare their own food. And some of the things you can do there is, you know, have like a kitty and communal things like, you know, tea, coffee, milk that not everybody isn't bringing in their own and then only using a little bit and throwing the rest away. Butter is another thing, things like that. And also maybe to have what we would call a sharing shelf. So where, you know, be it in the fridge and maybe in the cupboard, where people can put things that, you know, they're happy for other people to dip into. And that stops those wars about who ate my lunch and who ate my breakfast and that. So, you know, and that kind of helps a little bit more in terms of things maybe that you don't always get to. You might have a half open, you might eat ham in a sandwich one day and then not go near it. But if it's on the sharing shelf, someone else will help themselves to it. And they're all little ways, you know, in kind of the larger settings for reducing food waste as well.
Brilliant. We do that in our office. Actually, we have a kitchenette in our offices. Haven't been in there in a long time now at this stage, but that's great. And loads of other great tips there as well. Thanks a million for all those. I'm just wondering, staying on that kind of theme of things, are there any kind of most common types of food waste? Is there a couple of top hitters that just give people a heads up on maybe and how they can avoid it? And maybe as well, if there are, and I appreciate every situation would be different to a certain extent, but is there any kind of, you know, a rough idea of average outlinings of what savings could be made for a typical home, you know, if they improve their food situation?
We've calculated in general it's around €700 per household that you could save with reducing food waste. Obviously it depends on the household, you know. If you waste more, you could obviously save more, but I think the key thing there just is that's not an insignificant amount of money. So while, you know, week on week it mightn't look like much, if you add it all up, you know, even a half open packet of ham, you know, what's that, €2 for, you know, minimum for a packet of ham, so say €1, that all starts to add up after a while. And what we do have, I mentioned before, you know, we last year, and we're about to do another one this year, we did quite a significant food waste attitude survey where we went out and we did a nationally representative survey of Irish citizens, and we found out, you know, what they thought about food waste and also some of their behaviours around food waste. And, you know, I think what was really interesting and sort of reassuring was we found that the more people think and talk about food waste, the more likely they were to adopt behaviours to reduce food waste, you know, so things around food organisation and that. So it really highlighted for us the importance in keeping the conversation around food waste alive and making sure that more and more people do stop to think about it. And as I said, you know, people are so busy, sometimes it's not the first thing that is in their mind. So our job is to try and get people to think about it a little bit more often. And this is why, you know, it's great to have this podcast today talking about this. And, you know, sometimes we issue sort of a press release or a campaign, and all of that is about just getting people thinking about food waste and then hopefully adopting some different behaviours that they can to reduce it. So part of the survey was asking people the kind of things that they threw away. And, you know, when it comes to the types of food, there was nothing hugely surprising. Bread, vegetables, fruit and salad were the most common things that they said, you know. And bread is a big one. And I think, you know, you see it in the retail sector as well. And a lot of that, you know, you expect fresh bread when you go in at whatever time of the day. And then people buy bread and, you know, just don't use it on time. So I think, you know, and the key thing for bread is there's only so many breadcrumbs you can make as well. A lot of people kind of go, make breadcrumbs out of all the bread that you don't use. But I think for us, you know, one of our big tips there is use your freezer for the bread. And, you know, if you're buying bread that, you know, that's pre-sliced, obviously that can go quite easily into the freezer. But if you're buying things like rolls or wraps or things, yeah, you need to find ways of getting that into the freezer that you can use it easily. So, you know, if it's a roll, maybe cut it in half before you go in so that when you take it out, you can open it and defrost it quicker, you know, butter it while it's still frozen, make your sandwich, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of people, you know, we had a big debate about this when we were putting this forward as a tip. People thought, oh, but would the bread not be soggy, you know, but it's not. And I think that's the thing, you know, we said, try it. If it works for you, that's great. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine too. Find something else maybe that does work. Focus on something else that you're throwing away. For vegetables and fruit and salad, I think one of the key things people don't realize is not all fruit and vegetables are the same when it comes to keeping them fresher for longer. And actually our summer campaign, our Stretch Out and Save campaign, was exactly about that. It was just picking some of the common summer fruit and veg. So, you know, tomatoes are better on the counter, whereas strawberries, you would keep them in the fridge. And something like lettuce, you know, sometimes people buy bags of lettuce for convenience, and that does go off quite quickly, you know, so you can actually prepare, you can have a head of lettuce, you can wash a little bit of it. There are ways of keeping that, you know, it, you keep it in a colander, or if you have a salad spinner, in the fridge with a bit of paper towel over it to keep it moist. So a lot of it, you know, I think, and we have an A to Z of foods on our website, on the stopfoodwaste.ie website, which kind of helps highlight that not everything is, you don't just come home, throw everything into the fridge or everything into the fruit bowl and expect it'll still be there when you come back to it in a week without having deteriorated in any way. So with a little bit of work when you come home, you know, in terms of certain items go into the fridge, others don't. If you have stuff in the fridge, move them to the counter, maybe if you know, so that you'll eat them there. Pull things out that you need to eat quicker and be aware of what you have. So it's just really very small behaviors that we need to do just to make sure that we keep things, we rotate our stock a bit like they do in a retail sector, you know, last in, you move things to the back, things that were in there already, you take them out and make sure that you use up what you have already before you start buying new stuff.
Yeah, first in, first out. And wow, €6-7 per annum, like for an average household, that's a lot of money. You could do a lot of stuff with that, you know. But great to hear that talking about food waste, you know, the more likely we are to save, reduce our food waste impact. So that's great to hear. And that's just even just looking at the kind of comparisons then between what's going on between the global north and the global south. Like there are differences in food waste issues in countries there, right? Like in the global north or Western societies, it's more a case of the last stage of the food chain, typically where, for example, at home or at work, and we throw out or allow to go off perfectly good food. Whereas in the global south, their problems are more associated with like transport and storage of food before it gets to the end users. I'm just wondering, could you share some insights on those food issues for us? What solutions would you like to see at national or global level?
So in terms of the global north versus the global south, those recent reports from UNEP, and also there's one which Tesco did with WWF, and they have suggested that isn't necessarily true. And I suppose it does go back to one of Odile's points there that, you know, with the issue with food waste is we don't actually have good data. So as the data is improving, you know, we're finding that food is wasted, you know, across the world at different stages of the supply chain. And it's not as, like, obviously there's more wasted at a consumer level, a little bit more, but there still is waste in the global south at the consumer level. The reasons might be different. It might be lack of refrigeration. It might be lack of education in some, in different households. So that, what we traditionally understood for the last couple of years, those recent reports have actually stated that, you know, it's food waste is wasted at every step of the supply chain across the world. And so there's actions for every player to take. So they would have said that obviously access to markets and things in the global south, you know, transport networks not being as good, would have contributed more to farm level food waste. But actually, in a global north, then there's different issues, say at farm level, it might be consumer specifications are higher in the global north, therefore farm level food waste is comparable, just for different reasons, I suppose. So I think the key thing, and hopefully with the increased focus on climate change, there is a lot more happening at a global level in terms of recording what is wasted and why. And obviously then with our, you know, very complex food system, you know, having avocados available in Ireland all year round means that, you know, there is going to be more food waste in like the transport, the refrigeration, all of that. There's so many links that if anything at all goes wrong, that food is wasted. So really it's more about, you know, reconsidering our food system, incorporating the idea that, you know, we shouldn't be wasting food at all. We should be preventing it in the first place. And in looking at that, we do need to reconsider how our whole food system is structured. But It does vary based on your country, where you're living, as to why food is wasted. But I suppose more recently, it just is proving that food waste is an issue everywhere at every step of the supply chain. And there's work, you know, there's opportunities for us to take action at each step, whether we're living in, you know, Zambia or we're living in Ireland. It's still an issue across the board.
Okay, fascinating. Thanks for that, Aileen. And I'm just wondering then as well, like with regards from maybe lessons we could learn from perhaps the past or what's going on in other countries, like that, you know, there is examples of stuff going on, like say in France, where they become the first country in the world to ban supermarkets from throwing away or destroying unsold food that, you know, that's still good. And, you know, that they have to instead sell or donate, it to charities or food banks. And like, do you think we're like to see more of this type of policy, and what type of policies would you like to see brought in yourself?
I think the UK have actually done a very good job, and I think Denmark as well, in terms of creating a food waste roadmap which incorporates all the different elements from prevention, you know, and talking about all the different players across. And the latest, the draft food strategy from the Department of Agriculture does talk about prioritising the creation of a food waste roadmap. And from what we've seen in our work kind of globally, having that roadmap with all the different stakeholders does produce results. So there has been positive results in the UK at each step of the supply chain. So what we would really like to see, that we would love to be part of it and contribute to that as well. But we really feel that getting those stakeholders in the room, creating a roadmap with very tangible, practical objectives, and measuring that. You know, Ireland is a food country, a net exporter. We have a responsibility to do that as sustainably as possible. And food waste is a massive opportunity for us to improve the sustainability of our food system. So we would love to see Ireland taking a lead in this, creating a roadmap, you know, understanding all the issues, creating policy incentives for reduction and prevention in the first place, redistribution, and looking at other solutions as well, because we're all have a part to play. It's not just one solution. So that's what we would love to see. And we were encouraged to see that in the draft food strategy from the Department of Agriculture. And we'd really like to see that put into action over the next number of years.
Brilliant. Yeah, it sounds great. I look forward to hearing more about that. And then just kind of looking into the future, Odile, like are there other solutions, do you think, that food waste could offer? Like, just from my own experience, I've seen, like, with schools in Kenya, you know, and some of these schools wouldn't have had much resources at all, but they were still able to make a kind of a, you know, a homemade anaerobic digester, which, you know, quite low-tech with bricks and mortar and a bit of piping and plumbing. So using that kind of biomass to, you know, in a sealed container without oxygen, and then as a byproduct, methane is produced. You know, they're using that for, like, heating and cooking and stuff. And I'm just wondering, you know, like, obviously we want to reduce food waste as much as we can, as you both have been saying very well. But just wondering, with the food waste that we are left with, how can we best use that as a resource?
Yeah, and, you know, this is back to all of these kind of complex issues that have, you know, lots of different moving parts to them. And, you know, even as even said, and I do know work is actually underway in the Department of the Environment by producing that roadmap that has been signalled. So that's definitely something I think will be very, very useful to show all the different roles. And obviously, when you have done a lot of work in terms of the prevention side of things, then you do start to look at what we would call unavoidable food waste. There is always going to be some food that's wasted, you know, and managing that in the most sustainable way is definitely the next best solution. And there's a thing called the food waste hierarchy, which kind of prioritizes the options when it comes to food waste, with prevention being the top of the hierarchy, then redistribution to feed people after that, and then feeding animals. Then you start talking about the you know, the waste treatment options. And there's where you see things like anaerobic digestion and composting. And in fact, over the last few years, we've become a lot better at making sure that our food waste does go into the compost bin, if you have a brown bin at home or you do your own home composting at home. But I think one of the things that, you know, the EPA have found from doing waste composition surveys, there's still a significant amount of food waste in the what we would call the residual bin. So, you know, your landfill, well, you know, it doesn't go directly to landfill, but your black bin. And for us, you know, be it in a work setting or in your home, one of the key things is to make sure that any food that you do waste, that you can't avoid wasting, goes into the right bin to make sure that it's managed properly. And from that point of view, at least you're making sure that something like, you know, it can contribute then to energy, or, you know, that it's still being used as a resource. It can be a soil improver, that kind of thing. So really, we need to get the segregation right. And we do find in a lot of cases that isn't happening. So, you know, from there, that's one of the big things. But then offering these kind of unique, you know, kind of local solutions again to manage a bit, as you said, as you saw in Kenya, there's some places, you know, some hotels and, you know, in a commercial setting are looking at options to have mini anaerobic digesters. I think there's a cafe in West Cork that has a little one, and they actually cook from the methane then that's that's produced. So, you know, all of those local solutions are great, but it does need that overarching approach to make sure that it's not, you know, that you scale it up. It can't just be one little nice project. It needs to be scalable for really to address the issue. There's a lot of work to be done, but I think, you know, the other thing to be really careful about is if you come up with, you know, convenient waste management solutions, that they don't become the preferred option over and above prevention, you know, because if it is, you can see that sometimes happen where people, and it's just our nature, you know, you see food waste so you can deal with it, or you get down and dirty, but the, you know, preventing it is intangible. It's about changing behavior, as I said before. So, and it's quite difficult to do. So people leave that until the last instead of doing that first. So, you know, for me, you'll hear me say it all the time, we need to prevent first. That's what we need to get focused on, and anything else that happens after that is a bonus.
Great point. And it is more of an intangible, it's less something that people can talk about even, isn't it, or show off and stuff. You know, like you might see in Instagram accounts with other things that are going on. But I really love all the kind of messaging that you guys both have, you know, and focusing on food rather than food waste, and, you know, kind of talking about the connections that food can bring as well is fantastic. And I just wondering to both of you, like, what gives you hope? And maybe Odile, we'll go to you first.
Yeah, look, you know, like all of these problems, I think, you know, we're very creative as a race. And, you know, we can learn from things that other countries are doing. I think, you know, rather hopefully, we're not that different to what's going on in a lot of countries around the world. So I know often we beat ourselves up and say, you know, we're laggards and we're terrible and we don't do this, that and the other. But, you know, we kind of have the building blocks in place. We've got quite a solid, you know, waste prevention program. We are able to engage with people. We see that people are there, that they want to do something to reduce their food waste. So, and, you know, having something like the roadmap that even mentioned there, that brings everything together. And I think as long as we're all pulling in the same direction, I think we can get there. But I think it's really important that, you know, a lot of people come along and think they have a solution, or, you know, that people don't try and just forge their own path. They need to get on board. You know, people promote Stop Food Waste as, you know, kind of giving tips to people, that kind of thing, and not trying to, you know, confuse people by hearing lots of different voices. And I think if we keep on track that way, we'll get there eventually.
Brilliant. And thanks for that. And Evian?
Well, I think seeing the businesses that are involved with us, they really do want to do what they can to reduce food waste, and they really, and more, I suppose, when with the growing awareness of the issue and the kind of consequences of food waste environmentally, there is a really big appetite pardon the pun, for change and for improvement within the food industry. And that gives me hope. And also seeing the amount of community organizations that are willing to go the extra mile, take the random stuff that comes in, do something really creative with it that creates other unintended benefits, is really, really inspiring. So, like, you know, we've had mad examples of things that have come through the doors and thought, who's going to use that? Like, you know, 5 kg bags of olives. And we had hundreds of them, but some of the charities were making olive tapenade. There was Greek salads in a lot of community lunch clubs over that year when we had those vacuum pack bags. There was, you know, there's charities and community groups that they are going the extra mile to, you know, do something really positive out of what could have been waste. And that's really inspiring. So I suppose it's knowing that there is solutions out there, knowing that there is kind of opportunities within the food industry, and there is a buy-in in order to make change. That's really positive. And then I suppose inspired by seeing the community groups across the country doing amazing things all give me hope. And I suppose, as Odile says, if we can get a roadmap where we're all aligned, all the different players, whether you're a, you know, whether you're an anaerobic digestion plant or you're a farmer or you're a food redistribution or you're a government agency, you know, if we have a clear roadmap and a clear plan that we can all work towards and play our part, I really do think that Ireland could make food waste one of its key objectives in terms of creating a more sustainable food system. So that does give me hope. There is a lot of hope out there. And the other thing is, it's delicious food and it should be enjoyed and appreciated. And I think that, you know, that makes it an even more of a great problem to solve, because the solutions are actually delicious.
Well put. Thanks for that. But lots of great stuff in there from you both, and just that kind of, yeah, that creative kind of element that you both have is wonderful to hear. And just one more question for you both. I'm just wondering, what is your takeaway message from today's discussion, like a call to action?
For me, I suppose it's the awareness piece. So I still think, you know, that people don't realize the consequences, the environmental consequences of food waste, whether it's in the home or when they're out shopping, or even food industry. They might think about it from a cost perspective, but not an environmental perspective. And as Odile said, the more people kind of became aware and talked about food waste, the more they took action. So unfortunately, I would still say that we're bombarded with information, you know, in this social media kind of generation. And I think even listening to this podcast and becoming more aware of food waste, and, you know, whether it's in, you know, when you're talking to your retailer or your person in the store, whether you're acting at home, awareness is the first kind of step. And then taking small actions, just being more conscious and aware, and then advocating, you know, with your local supermarkets and retailers. And, you know, they do the food industry really, really responds to consumer demands, and they're always looking for consumer insights. So, you know, the work that the EPA does and increasing awareness at consumer level has really started to pay off in terms of, you know, promoting action then across the food industry. So I would say awareness and sharing the message. If people are listening to this podcast, it's amazing how many people don't realize the impact. So that would be number one. And then taking small actions in your own life is always, it's going to benefit your pocket, but it's also going to benefit the environment.
Fantastic. And Odile?
Actually, and yeah, look, that leads me very nicely to, I would kind of call on people to get behind our Stop Food Waste campaign, you know, and we're on social media, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and we're also on Twitter. Remember that platform. So, you know, if people follow us on social media, share what we put out, and, you know, then our website is there as a repository for information. And the best place you could start there is, we have 5 ways to reduce food waste now. So if you're looking to get started, we have our top 5 tips on simple things you can do. But our social media, you know, breaks that down even into more simple steps. And if people can just get behind that campaign and promote it to their friends and talk about it a bit more, you know, talk in work at the, you know, the canteen on things and try and implement then small changes. We've got tips on what those small changes could be. And if everybody just did their bit, I think, you know, we'll get somewhere. And then not to forget from that does actually lead, as even said, to the demand for, you know, the food supply sector to also take action. And in fact, you know, there have been some very interesting insights there. There was something, you know, that consumers actually want to see the food supply sector help them to reduce food waste. So not only do they want to see the sector reducing food waste, but they also want to see things, you know, like innovations when it comes to packaging, smaller portion sizes, things like that, that can help us as consumers reduce our food waste as well.
Fantastic. Well, like you mentioned there, social media and websites. Is there any social media websites or stuff even that you'd like us to share as well?
Yeah, so we're on all of those platforms as well. And we also have a website, food.cloud. And we are looking for volunteers as well, especially in our Tala hub. So you can find out all the details of that on our website. And we would be sharing, you know, signposting you a lot to the Stop Food Waste channels as well in terms of consumer tips, but also keeping up to date on what's coming in and out of the hubs and what's going on our side. So yeah, do keep in touch with us in that way.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, guys. And just a really huge thanks to both of our guests today, Eveen and Odile. I really learned so much. I hope everyone out there did too. And as the guys are saying, you know, there's lots of tips that you can start with. And really just to talk to others about it as well is a great thing that you can do. So until next time, mind yourselves and looking forward to chatting again sometime soon. All the best. Take care. It's that time of the podcast again where we have a challenge for you. Your call to action today is to, first off, talk more about food waste. Those who do so reduce their food waste levels and also help others to do the same. If you are putting a lot of food into your food or composter at the moment, why not try keeping a food diary? Even take a picture of the inside of your fridge before you go shopping so you only buy what you need. Take a look at stopfoodwaste.ie for lots of tips on making the most of your food. And since you have listened to this podcast, and I thank you for doing so, hopefully you are now a bit more aware. So please do share anything you have learned to others. And if you're interested in volunteering with Food Cloud, check them out at food.cloud. So thanks again for joining us. And until next time, take care. All the best. Thanks for listening. We hope you got something from today. Don't forget, if you did enjoy this episode, please do tell your friends and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on social media. Search for Climate Ambassador on Instagram or Facebook, or at climate_ambass on Twitter. And we look forward to chatting more in the next episode.